Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Keep shining, we're recording. Hi, Emma, how are you?
Beautiful. I'm good, how are you?
Oh, sure, you know yourself.
I was just enjoying the little trip down memory lane. You were bringing me there from the comedy world. Because you were wearing some old stories and some old lift combos.
Oh, those lifts.
Not that you're not going to see those people again. Obviously you will, but like, it's never going to be that particular trio in a car again, I would imagine.
Never. I mean, I went through a period and I think I was Ryan Cullen's personal chauffeur. I was just driving him all over the country to gigs. Just me and Ryan. God. And we ran out of petrol twice.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. And the competitions and
the fucking competitions. The
hysteria of it all.
Do you know what? For the guilty madness. Feminist, for my intro, Deborah read out, she was like, winner of the Forbidden Fruit Award 2017. I was like, how the fuck is that still on the bio? That was my intro. The Forbidden Fruit Award, Emma.
Oh, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? When somebody starts reading stuff out from your bio and you're like, oh God, I really have to update that. I just am totally, to coin a Judy phrase, allergic to touching an L bio. And some people, I have to applaud them, they're great at updating it and adding stuff to it and making it sound good. And like, I write every day. I should just take that, own it and write it. But I'm just like, it makes me shudder. And obviously I'm a fan of the self-promotion. Like, I'll whore myself out for any
else. I was just about to say, this doesn't sound like you at all.
It's just the bio. It's just because the bio is often read back to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although lots of people think that other people write people's bios for them. Because I remember somebody, I can't remember who it was, but their friends saying that they read their bio for some, maybe it was for a Vodafone or something. They're like, Jesus, like your bio, like that's deadly. Like fucking fair fucks, it's amazing. They're like, yeah, I fucking wrote it. So it's like, oh yeah, people don't realise that people write their own bios, but...
Sure, I thought I was great for a while there, wheeling out the Tommy Tiernan, the funniest thing I've seen for a long, long time. Little did I know, it was only when I went to Edinburgh, everyone had a Tommy Tiernan quote on their poster. It turns out he's just very generous with praise.
Up to 90, up to 90.
Disingenuous, you know, or anything like that, but
he's positive.
He's a positive person.
I think he's positive about people who are coming up in comedy in general.
Yeah, he's just very supportive.
Positive, yeah.
And like, it would be different. It'd be different now if you got Max Savage to give you an L quote. The funniest thing I've seen for a long, long time. Dave Max Savage, wow. Okay, that's 5 stars in the Irish Times right there.
But I feel like if he gave that review, I'd have to just say, well, I'm probably too old for him anyway, but I think I'd have to just say Dave, you do realise I'm not going to write it, like, just so.
Oh, would I love to? It's funny you say that.
I don't think I'm his type anyway, but I'd say he'd.
Oh, I'd no.
He'd give it a whirl. On a Tuesday. I'd say it'd be a Tuesday buzz.
Emma, but listen, you're everyone's type, baby. come here. No, I do think with Mac Savage, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask this. Is there something, is it just me, or is there something attractive about Mac Savage? There is something attractive about him, isn't there?
His fucking son.
That's what I find attractive about him. Oh, the son on the door. Dish. Wow.
No, Absolute. The other son.
Who's the other son? The son doing the door was quite cute, though, wasn't he?
No, it's not him.
The inter. When we be gigging and...
Apologies now, but like, I would have, you know, like yourself.
Oh, I thought he was cute.
No, the other son.
I don't think I've seen him yet. Are there two?
Yeah, he's not dressing up as his alter ego when he's not on the door. Like, there is another one.
Do you know what? I love that story about Mac Savage. Do you remember that story about somebody said that a comedian who we both know, and I won't name him, but I will say, you're brilliant. So this comedian did a gig. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I think I will as the story goes on. Oh, yeah, I think...
He was saying, oh, you're doing all the festivals, you're brilliant. So that kind of thing. He's a lovely man. But he did a gig a few years ago. And this is how things get lost in translation. So he, lovely man, and to be fair, like, very funny comedian. So I'm not sure what was happening on the night. But he did a gig. And anyway, basically, this other comedian was with him. And this other comedian... He went to another gig and he said, let's just call this man, we'll give him a fake name. Okay, let's just call this man Tige. So he said, oh, Tige died on his toe tonight. So then the person he spoke to then went to another comedy gig and said, oh, Tige died tonight, apparently. So then that comedian then went to another pub gig, we're not sure what. And he said, you'll never guess who died tonight. Tige. And everyone's like, what? So Mike Savage was there and was like, I can't believe this person's after dying. This is terrible. So then he met Aidan from the International Comedy Club. And he said, I've just heard some terrible news. Tige is dead. And the worst part of that story was the first person in that chain had to admit to Tige, yeah, I said you died.
But I think,
someone put something up on Facebook and this man had to come back and be like, I'm alive.
Yeah, but I think that Tige tells that story himself.
Do you think so?
I think he does. I think he told me, but I won't name him just in case. But I'm pretty sure he knows the story anyway.
Of course, he knows the story. Because somebody publicly said something, and obviously they had to rectify it pretty quickly because he's like, "Oh, I'm alive and well. Like, I wasn't that funny that night, but I'm okay."
I think, well, apart from Dave Mac Savage, the person who enjoys people obviously, don't get me wrong, we all enjoy watching another comedian die on their howl. But I think the person who enjoys it the most out of any comedian, so he'd be in the top 10 of people who enjoy it, is Martin Angolo. Oh. He really fucking loves it when someone's dying on their howl.
If you were lucky enough to get to spend some time in a Fiat Sequento of Martin Angolo, you are a lucky person. You are a lucky human being. Is there any person alive better than for the goss than Martin Angolo?
He's great. But you know what? He's a real bad influence because I remember...
Bad influence? Oh my God, you'd be losing your kids over him, Emma.
He gets you all... not always, to preface that. But sometimes he'll get you all giddy before a gig. And... we had this joke, and it was like such a stupid joke of how we were gonna like make it big, and how there was scouts going to the Ha'penny and sitting down the back and stuff. But I was like, I'm gonna do my impressions. That's what's gonna give me the killer edge. And I can't really do any impressions, but one impression I could do is, do you remember Homer in the first episodes of The Simpsons, where he's like, Bart talks like that for some reason? So we have a great laugh by this. And it's not funny. We're just like giddy for some reason. I get up on stage and do that impression. And then you're looking at him going, why have you led me astray? Why have you told me to go up and do a crap private joke on stage? And I'm just on stage going, Bart, Bart, like this. And you're looking at him and he's just staring at you. And you're like, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Martin. And he'll go up and stick to the script. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, yeah, thanks.
With some on-the-spot puns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hang on, I have a really bad toothache.
Oh, do you know, I sometimes I'm getting a toothache recently when I'm out for a walk, and if the wind, if it's cold and the wind hits the tooth, I come back to the house and my tooth is killing me. But you know, the funny thing about him is though, even though he's like, wow, he must be like 10 years younger than us. So like I'd rock up to these festivals.
He's only like 24, 25 now, I think.
Yeah, so like, yeah, he's like 10 years younger-ish. And you go to these festivals, and like I'm talking obviously years ago, it's not in the last year anyway. And I'd always feel like, oh, I'm one of these people that's going to like drive to this festival and like drive home or whatever, because, you know, I'm hardly going to like go and do 4-day benders at all these festivals somewhere while the kids are off.
Well, I've got your bonfire.
Yeah, bonfire only gets whacked out like once a year or whatever. But Martin be heading home as well. Martin be like, nah, be rocking up to these festivals.
But he's an old soul. That's why we all feel so comfortable laying ourselves bare in a metaphorical sense with Martin. Like, I mean, he's just fantastic.
After we finished last week's episode, I walked into the sitting room and America was on fire.
America was burning.
And then when's the inauguration? The 21st, isn't it?
I mean, I think it can't come too soon.
I know. Janie Mackers. And then,
I mean, I'd say at this point, I mean, I did throw it up as a tweet and I think it got 3 likes, which I think was unfair to the tweet. But I do think at this stage that Donald Trump makes Tonya Harding look like a good loser. You know, it's just gone that far now.
But like, okay, I know he's obviously insane and he has always been insane, but I mean, when does it get to the point where somebody needs to be like sectioned or something? You know what I mean?
And I know, you'd wonder. You would wonder. Well, I mean, the fact, you know, he's off the Twitter.
He's banned from everything, though. I know
banned, Twitter was like banned from goals, everything. I mean, there's no coming back for him in any sense. And I wonder on some level, I sent to Fred the last week, obviously America's burning. And then someone sent me the video of, you know, one of the sons, I don't know, was it Don Jr. or Eric, or that with Kimberly, you know, the girlfriends from Ennis.
Yeah. So they're dancing or something, aren't they?
This is when County Clare checks out of Up to 90. But yeah, so Kimberly is like dancing to glory, yeah. And then like obviously Donald Sr. and Ivanka are just glued to these screens as they're watching America in flames. It's like to say they're done it's not even adequate to say they're done. But you wonder, like, has he had a moment over the last week where he's like, fuck, like maybe I've gone too far with this? Like, you know, sometimes when you're in an argument and you kind of think to yourself, oh, I don't know if I've actually gone about this the right way, but I'm in too deep. I've committed 100%. There's no, like, he actually at this point can't come out now and say, do you know what, guys, I fucked up. Not that he would, but he's just in too deep with it.
I think he's never, well, like, yeah, I saw somebody kind of saying, oh, you know, this little gag, congratulations for receiving his first consequence. like of his actions. But it's kind of true. Like that's the first time that anything
that he's been told no.
But that's what
all of this is about, is just that he can't accept that he can't do something.
But I don't really like the way that kind of like applauding platforms for now banning them. I mean, it's very convenient to kind of do it now.
But I mean,
it's done a long, long time ago.
It's, yeah. I think at this point now, it's just lip service, isn't it? Like you wonder with Twitter. I mean, obviously, I'm sure it worked in their favor, the fact that they allowed him a soapbox for so long. Like they allowed him to utilize the world's largest soapbox for 4 years. And then 2 weeks before he has to go, they say, do you know what? That's actually a bit much now.
Oh, yeah. Well, just the way
the response. The response by the police was just, it was actually kind of nearly, it did make you feel a bit sick watching the ease with which they took over the place. Because, I mean, obviously it's such an obvious statement and so many people made it at the time. But it was just because they were white. That's why they could do that.
But like Judy, when I was in America with my mum, when I was,
I knew I was just going to ask. Yeah, let's bring it back to that.
I didn't want to go in and try and buy smokes, Judy, because I was afraid of being arrested. I thought that's what it was all about in that place. I thought like that if I said, because I would have obviously had to buy 20. I don't know if they had any 10 boxes, but I would have had to have said 20, what would you say? You would probably would have said B&H. Think they had, no, they would have had silk up there. Oh, no, probably would have said Marlboro Red, because I would have known that they had Marlboro Red. I was expecting if I did that, like,
because of your Sex in the City viewing.
Yeah.
As a very worldly 15-year-old.
Like, I was completely addicted to nicotine, and obviously I still am, and I really was going for a fucking smoke. But I thought that a SWAT team would descend on me, and I'd be pinned to the floor, and I'd probably get, it would probably be an international situation where the Irish embassy would have to get
Mary Robinson.
She'd be lighting loads of fucking candles for me.
I know.
She'd probably make some like some kind of, you know, connection between
what we've learned up the candles is
and lighting up the smoke.
That's smoke. Do not equate with justice. No, I know, but
I don't know. It's just
no, but I think it's because
insane to watch.
We've all lived in fear of American police forever. But I think that's because we were raised on bad boy, what you gonna do? Like we were raised on cops, and I mean, ultimately, I mean, we were like, yeah, the fear was real. The fear was very, very real. Yeah.
Oh, do you know the bit on The Simpsons, bad cops, it's just so funny. And then Chief Wiggum, I think it's the same episode, but Chief Wiggum's jaw locks. Do you know that episode? He's like, he's eating something and his jaw is locked.
Oh, yeah, funny. Was it that episode?
Bad cop. I don't know what
No, so America's burning. And what else? Oh, Vogue Williams went to St. Bart's for her holly bobs. What do you think of that?
Sneaky bitch.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's cool.
Now, I have to say, she seems nice and fair. I don't have an issue with her at all, but I don't follow Vogue. I'm just not particularly interested. And I don't follow So Sue Me either, but she's different again. But I'm not very interested in her. And word on the street is that people think she's away somewhere because she's just been posting a lot of throwbacks and stuff. I mean, I think it's fairly fucking, I mean, I think it's really unnecessary, especially even more so in this lockdown than the previous one that we know, like these various strains, it seems to be like United Nation of like fucking COVID strains at this stage.
I heard there was a new one in Nigeria today.
Yeah.
So we've now got, and one in Japan. So Japan, Nigeria, South Africa, and then this English strain.
I just, I just think it's just unnecessary, and especially for people who are that affluent, they are in a position to be very comfortable at home at the moment and have the best possible living situation at home. So
yeah, no, I agree.
People are moving to Turkey as well. What's that all about? I know people are mad for Dubai and all that. Like, does it not exist in these places?
People are going on holidays to Turkey, is it?
Well, I see that there's people going off to Dubai on holidays. And then I've seen a few people online that had just like kind of up sticks to Turkey and like, I'm going to chill out here for a while.
Are they just getting hair transplants though? Is that what's going on? Or the teeth? Oh, sorry. Now, Katie Price, as much as we love her, there's no need to have the before when it comes to the veneers. We don't need the before.
I saw someone talking about it.
Pigs are horrendous.
She was like, you don't actually need to file the teeth.
Oh, I can't even think about it.
I'd be very sketchy about doing that now myself. Oh. You'd have to always make sure you'd like, she'd like, I'm sure that it's no problem to her, but like, she'd have to make sure that she's at least 30 grand in the bank at all times in case something fucking goes awry with one of these things.
Look, wouldn't Emma, like, sorry, have you been following Katie lately? She doesn't have 30k in the bank. She's got all the horses. That's where the money's gone. It's on the horses,
she's got
Emma.
I think,
you know, back in the day, you know, there was a phase where when you needed dental surgery, somebody copped that it was a lot cheaper in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And I can remember needing a root canal and everyone was like, I think it cost me like maybe 5 grand at the time. But so many people were like, you know, you could go to Bulgaria and get that for 500 quid. And I was like, sorry, but I mean, a Ryanair flight is bad enough.
I couldn't even
let alone factoring in, like, let alone factoring in like a root canal on a Ryanair flight. Like, apparently for a while there's some city in Turkey where all the Irish lads go to get their hair transplants. Okay. And on the flight back, it's just like a lot of guys with like bandages around their bleeding scalps. Like, that's just, it's like A and B are just Irish lads with Irish heads bleeding from the scalp. People going up and down the aisle asking if you want to buy a lottery ticket, and you're in C. That's apparently the vibe on that Ryanair flight. Now, I agree, I've never been arsed going up north to get anything.
Anything. What do you think about Vogue going on?
Oh, no, I agree. I think, now I actually am interested in Vogue. I do quite like her. I follow her. Obviously, you know, herself and myself, like, our lives have kind of been mirrors of one another. So maybe that's where my interest has peaked. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, I do like to click into Gigi Bear and Theodore. I find it very funny the way Theodore is the image of her and then Gigi is the image of Spencer.
Oh, is she?
And I very much so. Yeah.
Tiny baby.
And then, you know, I find their dynamic very entertaining because I just love the fact, having followed him on Made in Chelsea, all he needed was an Irish bird to sort him out. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what he needed.
Yeah, you see, I never watched Made
I mean, he was such a Lothario. And, you know, they were like, Spencer, I need to know, you know, are we seeing other people or... And then Phil came along and they were just having the crack on that diving show. Do you remember that celebrity diving show that everyone...
They all were breaking their legs every 2 minutes.
Oh, speaking of...
They didn't have to have an elimination. It was just people breaking their legs. That's honestly how they just kept getting these celebrities to do these fucking massive ski jumps. Like, massive ski jumps when they've like trained for about 6 hours on a hangover. And like, we're all shocked that they broke their leg. It was just like, for that alone, I did watch some of it.
No, I do like Vogue. I do find sometimes the product placement is a little bit much. So I know after she had Gigi, you know, he now has this kind of, I think it's like 0% or 1% alcohol gin range. And she was like, we'll say the name of the gin is Zero. And she was saying, Looking forward to celebrating Gigi coming home with a zero or something. It was just like, it was too forced, folk. No, don't crowbar it in. But I generally really like her. I think she's really funny. And I loved that show she had. The one, you know, the one where there was kind of a series of documentaries and she went around kind of meeting people. She was very good. But this is a complete, total fail on her part. And she came out and said, well, we had this holiday booked a year ago. No. Who cares when you booked it? I mean, as you say, she is not in the situation whereby a lot of people are living in really, really tough conditions right now. Like, she's got a fab apartment. She has the dog. She has the two babies, the hubby, probably access to an outside space, I'm presuming. Just unnecessary, I think quite thoughtless. I think ultimately in this day and age, you can forgive anyone anything social media wise if they come out and say, do you know what, you're right, I actually totally fucked up here. But there doesn't seem to be any contrition on their parts at all, which is unfortunate because I think Vogue seems like a really sound person. So it's, you'd like her to come out and say, do you know what, yeah, it was a bad move. I'd be disappointed if she doesn't do that. There's still time.
Yeah, well, like, say, you know, obviously people have to make these decisions for themselves, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not one of these people that's fucking COVID police. I'm not going to start taking videos of somebody in my fucking local shop without a mask, like, ask me bollocks. And Vogue and Spencer seem nice. I'm sure they'd be good crack and all the rest of it. But, like, it's not so much that, like, okay, you had the holiday booked and you feel grand about going away and you really want to go away or whatever. But it's all the people involved from the time you leave your gaff, getting your flight and all the rest of it. It's all the people that have to work now to facilitate your holiday. And if you just fucking cancel that, those people wouldn't have to go to fucking work.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or if they were only dealing with people who really needed to travel. And the chances are, if there's people out there who actually have to travel for some fucking proper reason, they may have already had the vaccine or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, like, even and just I the fact that the people are going to have to facilitate that.
Yeah.
If you cancelled that or postponed it would mean that those people that don't have a chat or don't have a choice about whether or not they have to go to work would just have the opportunity to be in contact with less people.
Yeah, so, there's absolutely that. And I think you've hit the hail on the head. I think you've hit the nail on the head. But also there is as well, I think, an overarching sense of entitlement, which is kind of problematic and not just limited to, say, Vogue and Spencer. But there is a bit of that. Now, I know Marion Keyes put up today and she worded it very well. She was saying, you know, there's a lot of kind of guilting at the moment because obviously the numbers are astronomical in Ireland currently in relation to the COVID. And she was saying, look, you know, instead of beating ourselves up and kind of guilt tripping people because, you know, we're in the midst of a huge surge at the moment and it's all because you wanted to eat turkey with your auntie.
I know.
We should be saying to one another, look, we're all doing our best here. And I think most people are doing their best. And at this stage, it does, you know, you have to allow people to make their own choices as well. I mean, in saying that, in some instances, there is definitely a certain degree of entitlement. I think we've all had to make sacrifices of some description and kind of adjust our expectations.
I can tell you something, Judy. If this time 12 months ago I got me turkey teeth and two of my veneers had cracked off and I was dealing with razor teeth, I'm sorry now, but I'd be going over to Turkey again to get them fucking fixed.
And the irony
is, you can judge me all you want, I'd be saying, Judy, you just fucking keep storm.
And I'd be there beside you with my bleeding scalp. I'd be like, please don't tell them about my hair transplant. Imagine going all the way to Turkey for ginger hair transplant. That's what some Irish men are doing.
I was going to say, where did they get the ginger hair? But your own hair that they just transplant into other parts of your head, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Do you think they? Is
I
it
think just that's how it works. They take the hair from the back. You've got to get a bit of length on it. They obviously don't like. It's not like if you flow in locks down the back. It's not like they're transplanting like flowing locks up the top. But I think it's like to get the hair follicle and all that jazz.
I've got some chin hair.
I thought I was losing my hair fucking recently, to be honest with you. I actually thought I was losing my hair, but you know what I think it was? I went through a bit of a period of, I was just like whacking the hair up. I had like the fucking leggings and the runners on. Might do a workout, might not, but I just had the hair whacked up. And then I think what it was is that I wasn't actually brushing my hair as much, or my hair wasn't down. And I come to like eventually have a shower and wash my hair. I might have had a fucking tied up for 3 days in a row and all this hair coming out. And I was like, oh my Jesus, I'm losing my hair. I think there's something going on there, but I'm getting baby hair. Maybe I did lose a bit of hair.
One of my trolls who has actually found me on more than one medium, he's always commenting about my baldy head, or he says something about my scalp. I'm not sure what it is, but apparently I have a bit of a receding hairline.
No, you're just like me. You've just got a massive forehead.
I know.
It could be the aunt and death in Ireland, but they would just won't make it happen.
I'm going to stop giving out about RT because everyone I know is working for them. It's gas because I get involved in these conversations. Now, by the way, it's all tongue in cheek. I've nothing against RT. We all have these jokes about how they won't give us a job, blah, blah, blah. And then I just suddenly notice somebody is very silent in a WhatsApp group. And it turns out I turn on the telly and they're all over the screen. I'm like, that's why they've muted the conversation. And invariably the last message in a WhatsApp group, because I just have zero cap on, like zero cap on. I am a pure person's worst nightmare. And the last message will always be me saying something really kind of extremely negative. And then suddenly the group goes quiet. I'm like, no, because we were all given out about it. And then I'll see something. There's a real whack of a screenshot vibe.
Oh.
I just feel those screenshots happening. And next thing I know, everyone's working for RT, bar me. So I need to shut the fuck up.
This is the group I wasn't in, was it?
The group you weren't in. Come here. Do you know, did I tell you, speaking of teeth and speaking of natures, you know, Ted is teething at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And he's bit me a couple of times on the nipple and I had to laugh because I said this on the Instagram stories and not one or two, but three separate people messaged me with suggestions of how I could keep the breastfeeding going even though the nashers are in. So I'm just throwing this out there now. Don't bother messaging me to say you can keep it going. The dream is over, okay? As the old saying goes, Emma, bite me on the nipple once, shame on you. Bite me on the nipple twice, shame on me. It's not happening.
No, if you're happy to retire the nips and, go for it. Obviously, it's not my bag, so I'm just like amazed at anyone who can do for like longer than 2 days, you know?
I did give it a go again today because poor Ted, he's had a terrible time the last couple of days because Fred's been away doing the Tommy show and he's just in really bad form with the teeth, the poor guy.
Yeah.
So I let him have a bit of boob, but I still have him on the boob, but just once a day, but we're kind of weaning him off it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But today it was funny because I put him on the boob and he gave a real bite. So I just obviously went, ow, and he started laughing. And that was the first time I thought, I was like, you're a man. Do you know what? You're like cute little baby. And then I was like, you're actually, do you know what you are now, Ted? You're a West Kerry male. And you've hurt me and you're now laughing at me. This is just.
I don't know what it is about baby laughing at that kind of thing. But like, I've definitely heard that from a lot of people. Like they banged like their arm off the cupboard in the kitchen or something and the baby thinks it's hilarious. Evil fucks. But I suppose they're studying you. they're studying you all the time, aren't they? Like, he's, his main focus is watching you and your boobs, but just like watching you. So if you do anything out of the ordinary, he's like straight on it straight away.
Yeah, and it is
like how much you get the piss out of your own parents. Imagine like what he's going to be, two comedians as parents, and he's there eyeballing you from day one. He'll be exhausted with the slack and he'll be getting fed now. You see.
He's, well, we'll see. I mean, he could be a bit of a father. He could be a bit of a Father Stone figure. Do you know, like very dry.
Yeah, well, he's going to be slagging you one way or the other.
There will be an honest slagging, but I'll tell you, even before the teeth came in, I think the writing was on the wall for the breastfeeding, because I'd say the last month, when I take the boob out, Ted has been making this noise. Ooh! I do think when the baby goes, ooh, at the boob, you just feel very objectified. So it probably, look, the breastfeeding wasn't going to be happening anyway, but just to say that, we thank you for your suggestions, but no more.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Ella actually had gotten this little thing for Joe, and it hadn't arrived on Christmas. And Joe was like kind of trying to be, you know, super understanding about it, but you could see his face. He's like, "Fuck's sake!" But then when it came, he was delighted, and he was like, he actually said it was the best present he got.
What was it?
Oh, it was like. The simplest little thing, it was a Minecraft badge, but it had his name on it. So it was just, you know, one of those ones where you'd have to be in the know, like, to get it, you know, that kind of way. So he was
that is so cute. Really,
very into badges at the moment and very into Minecraft. But he was going through a phase of putting all his badges on his clothes every morning. And I was just like, fuck's sake, it's taking like 25 minutes.
That is adorable, Emma.
Oh, Judy, like he even had them on his back and everything. So he's being persuaded.
On his back? Look, nobody wants to be that child in the class.
Just so many badges, but we persuaded him to transfer the badges onto a scarf.
Yeah, so I mean, that makes sense. On his back? Jesus.
We just had, look, it's a fucking lockdown. There's not a lot going on. He just had so many badges. You know what I mean? This is just part of his morning ritual.
Do you know, like, this has given me it.
Stabbing himself at one would break. You know what I mean? But the two of them are like, every week, it's some, like, they obviously have their firm favorites that, you know, stand the test of time. But every week, it's something else. You know what I mean?
Well, it's this constantly. Has given me a bit of inspo what I can do with all my patches. Because I've been putting them on the back of my jumper as well.
Judy, no, but it was so funny. He had, one of the days that we were in Head Stuff, obviously fucking ages ago, there was badges.
Three years ago.
Help yourself to the badges. So I took the badges home. So one day when Joe was getting into the badges, I knew that I still had these badges in the bottom of my bag because, you know, they don't take up room.
You are such a squirrel. It is no wonder you have a squirrel tattooed on your arm, because you are a total fucking squirrel. If I pass a basket that says free badges, I am walking past that basket of badges. But Emma is getting the basket. She's tipping it into her handbag on the off chance. So Emma's child has not even expressed an interest in badges. So she then takes 2 weeks planting a seed, talking about badges. And when she was a little girl, like, you know, she used to collect badges and, like, you can get, like, different color badges. And eventually the child is brainwashed into thinking he likes badges, and then makes a passing comment about badges, and Emma's like, hang on, and produces your handbag full of free badges.
I would be convinced that I'm like an old school 80s Irish mom if I could cook. Like, I swear to God.
Well,
I got these badges, but guess who was on one of the badges, Judy? It was so funny, and this was the one like on at the front. It was fucking Garode. It was fascinating. It would just gave me such a chuckle, and I kept wanting to take a picture of him. I was like, Joe, can I take a picture? And he's in one of these ways. He's like, no. And obviously, like, if he doesn't want a picture, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna be one of these people. I'm not gonna take a picture of him. But I was like, I really need to get a photograph of that for Garode. Like, he's going around clubbing fascinated. And we never had up to 90 badges, Julie. Not even my own son was fucking podcast.
The plot thickens. Why were there? Why was there never an up to 90 badge?
Yeah, I'm one of the Alison Spittle ones. And and you know what else he had as well? He had a yes, a repeal one as well. Like, it was just fucking gas. It really was.
And I presume these all came from the head stuff basket.
No, the yes one I got from something else. But I just had all these badges. Honestly, I just had all these badges floating around in my handbag. But he got into badges before this. And I was like, oh, hang on a second.
No, I just love what I know about...
He's delighted to wear a garrote in his lapel. I can tell you that for nothing.
What I love about doing festivals and different live shows with Emma is you're always raiding the place, looking for stuff for the Friday treat. So speaking of forbidden fruit, so we're up at Forbidden Fruit and myself and Emma are always there, and like the jig is up. I mean, people are coming up to us asking for plasters, asking us if we've sun cream. Like, we shouldn't be there. We should not be performing at these things. And anyway, so like you do a gig and like Emma's always scoping the place, looking for something for the Friday treat. Like, you end up leaving with a variety pack of potatoes. So you're leaving with your 10 pack of potatoes out the gap.
But you remember we did the gig for Maria and they had the sweet thing and I filled up bags for the kids. Remember?
Oh, listen, can I just say on behalf of the podcast, we love you, Maria, but we're done doing the gigs now for Maria.
I got my money's worth anyway. Martin was there at that gig as well, wasn't he? Because he was talking.
Martin's everywhere.
Well, but then I went through a phase of never seeing him, but I got bags for the kids of sweets. No one was at the fucking sweet thing. Everyone was like,
no, you're right. You're definitely right to help yourself to a few sweeties, for sure.
Sounds strange. I have to bring back souvenirs from wherever I go, you know what I mean?
That is so funny. But I love the fact that Grode was on the front of Joe's school uniform, because he's our favourite Grode.
I know, it totally is. And I forgot to tell him, but it was such a story. You know, I really need to see him face to face to explain this, because it's not something for a WhatsApp message. Do you know what I mean? It just sounds odd.
No, I think you explained him really well there. So funny.
Oh, it's just great. Like, it's just the fact that you've no idea what any of these badges were. Do you know what I mean? But, sure, look. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you there. You were going to wrap it up there, weren't you?
No, I don't know what I was going to... Oh, I was just going to ask very quickly your thoughts on Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles.
Do you know what? Like, even today, I saw old pictures of Harry with Kendall. And I just feel like Harry is going to be... like a kind of a rolling stone, do you know what I mean? Like, well into his 60s or 70s, and it's like, oh, who's on his arm this week? Do you know what I mean? Like, I know obviously there's a very obvious payoff in all of this for him, like he's getting his hole, but I just feel like, do you know, Harry, like, is this the only way for him to get publicity now? What about sugar?
But do you think that's what it's about?
I think it's time to shave. That's what it's always about. I think he needs to shave his head or something. I think he needs to do something else than just being connected with different women all the time.
But
don't get me wrong, I'm still going to click into the pictures and have a go. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm just talking shy for... purely because we're on a podcast, but
and you know what, I don't know why
I'm weirdly interested yet have no interest in him at the same time. It's weird, like I can't explain it.
Do you know what, I actually does have to confess, it does make sense, but you know what, I have to confess, I don't know why, if the second the question was out of my mouth, I was like, I don't give a shit. Is that terrible?
That's Harry. No, but that describes Harry's style completely. Because you say something about him and then you're like, I don't give a shit. It's just because it's pushed in your face so much about who he's going out with this month.
Yeah.
That it tells itself in making you to believe, well, I suppose I must care about this because they keep telling me that I care about this. I think he's just like, sure, he's a lovely guy, he's lovely looking, you know, what a man, fair play to you and all that. But I'm starting to wonder, apart from like the, you know, the big core, like One Direction fans, does anyone actually give a shit? I don't think anyone does.
I don't think anyone does, to be honest. I mean, do you know, Irene has no feelings for the man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does come across as a nice guy. I mean, like, Olivia Wilde is absolutely beautiful. So I wouldn't have thought necessary publicity.
Hang on, which one is Olivia Wilde?
Is the one Irish at the moment?
Yeah, but is she like American, the Irish one?
Oh, I think she does have an Irish connection. Does she? Well, the name Wilde. Will I look her up here to see if there any Irish connection? I'm going to look her up here. Well, I didn't like the way, and it's just off. Like, it was kind of tiresome. Like, as in this thing of, oh, that the relationship with Harry Styles ended the actress's 9-year relationship and blah, blah, blah. I mean, no.
I think that's a certain thing, because I think a while back, Colin Farrell was kind of, there was a similar thing with him kind of being mad for like older women. So it's this kind of story where, oh, well, maybe the rest of us have a chance, whatever. But he seems to have knocked that kind of thing on the head in terms of like it being a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's very easy. Like, I'm sure it's very easy. Like, you know, people say, oh, you know, like my private life and whatever. But I'm sure if you're a star at that level, it's probably quite easy to go about having
Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes.
But she knows
the classic example.
You know where to go. You know there's certain places that if you go, you're going to be, you know, inverted commas, spotted or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I do think,
but I'm sure for some people, you know, it is intrusive whether they court it or not. Like, I'm sure for Harry and Meghan.
Oh, well, no. You know what I thought? Well, actually, speaking of which, listened to Harry and Meghan's podcast. Oh, really enjoyed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Now, I don't know what the whole, like,
what?
I don't know what when I say I don't know what the premise is, you know, they're kind of, obviously it's kind of centering on positivity and stuff, which isn't really our brand. Mm. So I did enjoy it for one episode. Don't know, could I be tuning in every week? But I thought their dynamic was so great. I loved their dynamic. Like, I thought they were married and have children
together. Do you expect them to have a bit of a fucking dynamic, wouldn't you?
No, you would, of course, expect them to have a functional dynamic. But I just thought, it just felt nice between them. And it felt kind of a bit, I'd say they could buzz off each other a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. I mean, Harry's voice now was fantastic on it as well, because I always kind of fret that Harry's a bit out of his depth in these situations. Like, you know, the way Meghan is so capable. So she's talking about something and then Harry starts to speak and I always kind of feel nervous for him. Yeah, you're
just... He's just going to go, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we'll all agree with what Meghan said. But no, I really enjoyed it. And what was I going to say there? Oh, speaking of being intrusive, do you know what I found very intrusive this week? There were pictures of Angelina shopping with her two daughters, Sahara and Shiloh. And you just kind of think to yourself, say in that instance, they were going to like, I think it was like an Ethiopian store in LA. And yeah. I think the kids, you know, they're teenagers. I don't know how old they are. They're 16, 17, whatever it is. But she's somebody now that strikes me, you know, wouldn't particularly court media scrutiny. And I did really feel, even seeing the pictures, I felt complicit. Like, you know, you have these moments now where you think to yourself, this is really just stalking teenage girls, isn't it? Like, that's actually what this is.
I know, but then at the same time, like, don't get me wrong, I don't think that the kids should be in the photograph while they're minors. I think their faces should be blurred out or whatever.
But should she? But
Should Angelina?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But the, like, the one thing I would say is, you remember, like, Tom and Nicole back in the day? They had two kids together.
Shay, you like my hat? Shay, you like it? Shay, you like my hat? Shay, you like it?
Yes, great. I think my favorite scene in that movie is when he's teaching her how to wash the clothes. But and then, you know, when she teaches her mother how to wash the clothes. That's about it. That's kind of what that film is. But do you remember they had the two kids? I couldn't spot them in a lineup at all. And I mean, back in the day, Nicole and Tom Cruise were a major, major Hollywood couple. But they managed to keep their kids fairly much out of the spotlight. Like, I'm sure they were in, like, I'm sure there was pictures of them in fucking trashier magazines or whatever. But am I wrong in thinking that, like, Brad and Angelina had them kids on red carpets and stuff?
Oh, not that have I'm saying they been on red carpet? Oh, I think maybe. They have for kids and stuff. They're not, like, bringing them to Kill Bill or anything.
No. But you know what I mean? I think even if you engage with that part of it, you do kind of open it up.
Yeah, well, you've kind of
be, like, I don't want any, don't want them to be intrusive and all the rest of it, like, but I do think that they shouldn't be, their images shouldn't be printed while they're under 18 anyway, because I mean,
no.
even just the whole thing of having your picture in a magazine or whatever, and just even the whole thing of, like, somebody else is making money off your image. And you're not.
There is that. And just as a teenager, I know myself. I mean, imagine, wouldn't that have been your worst nightmare, Emma? At 16, to have your picture printed and you have no control over it. So you can't say, oh, no, mom, don't put up that picture. It's not that situation. It's a situation which is beyond your control.
You see, I don't even know how the whole paparazzi thing works anymore, because obviously, with the old camera phones and all the rest, it pretty much killed it. And, like, with people doing their own, you know, websites and blogging and all that shite. So I don't even know how it works anymore. I mean, is that a case of somebody who's obviously not a photographer, that's just a member of the public taking those pictures? Or are they staged pictures? Like, it does seem kind of quite convenient that they're shopping in the Ethiopian
market.
And it's kind of quite good for Angelina because it shows that she's, like, you know, keeping her heritage a real thing or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So I kind of wonder, is that an orchestrated photo as well?
You'd be cynical about it, yeah.
I would, because I don't even know how the whole paparazzi thing works anymore. Apart from, like, say, the people that are really bankable, but I don't even think it's to the same level as it used to be. Like, say, like, okay, Britney or whatever, I'm sure it probably is worthwhile for somebody to try, or was back in the, like, you know, before the pandemic, to follow her on a daily basis. There probably is enough there to make a living off of it. But in terms of, like, the Angelina Jolie's, like, doubtful that she's going to fucking get into anything crazy while she's off getting her milk and bread. So it's probably not worth your while.
Now, come on, as if they're letting Britney buy her own milk and bread.
No, but I'm saying if
Angelina. Yeah.
It's hardly going to kick off.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough one. It's hard to know. I mean, I think we don't
know how real it all is. I'm starting to feel like the whole fucking thing is contrived, or there's a deal done, because to go around and follow these people like you would have back in the day is just not viable. So I think a deal has to be done between these people, like, definitely all the minor people, you know, like the Kerry Katonas and shit, like, whatever, any pictures of any of those sorts of people on holidays, that's organized.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, none of us, any holiday pick, none of us are believing that these paparazzi just happen to be on this island at the same time. I mean, anyone who goes to Dubai is just, generally speaking, It just feels like every second day a celebrity is on holidays in Dubai. I mean, it just seems to be rampant over there. But of course, I mean, obviously these people are paid and it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. I did have a fleeting moment when I looked at the pictures and I thought, oh, is this a bit convenient? You know, what is it staged? I'd like to think it isn't, though. But I mean, maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know. But then you see, I suppose on the other side of it, like I see photographs of Amy Schumer out fucking getting milk and bread and she kind of does a funny pose or whatever. But like, I don't really feel like that's a fucking planned thing. Not because she's just wearing a hoodie and a pair of tracks buttons, but it just doesn't feel like it's planned. So I don't know.
I think paparazzi definitely still exist, albeit in a very different form, I'd imagine. But I mean, Obviously, we'd all be saying that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But
said like that with the whole thing of social media and Instagram, and it gave all these stars the opportunity to kind of take it back and manage it themselves.
But you know what, though? I think
they're showing their post-baby body, or, you know, they're controlling all that kind of shite.
But I was going to say one function of the paparazzi now is maybe even to undermine that.
Yes.
So I suppose that is a new vehicle for them to make money now, because it's contrasting these Insta-perfect shots with reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, yeah, to actually see, you know, Kylie Jenner at something in the flesh, what she actually looks like, I suppose.
Yeah, so there's definitely an appetite and a market for that.
Yeah, but then I don't know. I think even if you just get them at a normal event in normal lighting, you're going to show what they look like in real life. I don't really have to get them at the drive through. Like,
no, I actually
at the car park eating 12 chicken nuggets. Like,
I have one thing I did give up for 2021, and so far I haven't succumbed just yet. Yeah, I gave up the Daily Mail.
Did you? I haven't been on it in a long time. It was a gradual thing where I weaned myself off it.
Yeah, like, I wasn't going on it as much. But then, I just cut it out of my life completely come 2021.
Yeah, just the way they talk about women in general, any type of women, doesn't matter what age, race, occupation, it's just very negative. Even when they're being positive, it's very negative. Like, the stuff that they're putting the focus on is just very...
Yeah, it's a real... What I find with the comment section, it's a real Fathers for Justice vibe. Like, real, yeah. You know,
well,
it's...
I've given up the comment section a good while ago. But look, I think relapse tomorrow, you know what I mean?
You could relapse and you could dip into it. I think for me, what really pushed it over the line for me was just the relentlessness of the contempt for Meghan was just really, really disconcerting. Like, the Daily Mail's obsession with Meghan Markle is bizarre.
Yeah, some of the people when you do look at it, it is the same people all the time. And then you kind of begin to see the pattern of like, okay, well, there's obviously been a deal struck up with that person. And then obviously that person didn't agree to a deal and we're fucking gunning for them.
Yeah. It's all very ick, the whole thing. But I'll tell you what's not ick.
Doom.
Patrons.
Patrons.
We love an old patron now. We got a load. Our call to arms last week worked wonders. So we got a load of new patrons. We're so happy. Thank you so much for joining us on our journey to not have real jobs. That's the goal.
You'd really wonder what's wrong with the other fucks now. I just hope for their sake. It's not about me. It's definitely not about me. But I just hope for them that they're a couple of weeks behind.
Yeah, I mean, they could just be catching up here.
I hope to Jesus that's what
they're going through the back catalogue. That's what I tell myself. So we have Tracy, we have Kate, we have Aoife, we have another Aoife who I think is a former student. My former students are keeping this podcast afloat. Thank you so much. We also have David G. Now, David G, do drop me a line because I have a feeling he's another former student.
Okay.
I think he could be a former student of mine as well. Hazel, we've got Karen, we've got Maggie, we've got Dermot. Now, let me tell you about Dermot. We have to be careful around Dermot because Dermot is a friend of friends. So he's going to get all the, he's going to get all the inside info. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know. So we've got to cut about 45% of our content, but we'll cross that bridge. We've got Audrey, we've got Lynn, we've got 18.
You're not going to name everyone, are you?
No, Amy was the last one. And we're doing this new thing because we have just random bits and bobs that we want to send to people. So we're going to pick a listener of the week every week. It's going to be a patron. And this week we have picked at random. Emma, do you want to announce?
It's Danielle.
It's Danielle. So Danielle, we're going to message Danielle,
Danielle
and get an address. And we're going to send her on a little something. Now, guys, let's not get our hopes up here, okay? It's pandemic times. The shops are closed. But we'll rustle up something and we'll send it to you, Danielle.
We just got to be nice in these times, getting a bit of random post. Well, I was going to say that you're not expecting, but you are expecting now. But, you know, something different. Something
different. Yeah, and like we do really, really appreciate the support.
This would have been dead a long time ago, only for them.
Oh, I mean, it would have. And it does mean so much. And ultimately, you know, we really, really appreciate it. And it's just, it's one of the things I love about podcasting because it's nice as well. Like, I support podcasts, Emma support podcasts. It's a lovely thing to be able to do when you are enjoying someone's content to just kind of, you know, give them a little and something, look, something. So it's a lovely thing.
We don't want to be banging on about the patrons, and I'm only going to do my call to arms every few weeks, but I just, this is the last thing I'll say in it. Patrons get the vaccine first, okay? So look, that's out of my hands, but I just want to let you know that that's really the state of play at the moment, isn't it? The
patrons, well, yeah, no.
First. So if we could just get that trending hashtag.
Well, I think Tony Houlihan does listen to Up to 90, and he has.
Yeah, we know
said,
Mike D does.
Oh, don't even get me started on that spooky shit. But I think that as far as I know, the last time I did look at the HSE vaccine list, it did seem like a direct copy of our tiers.
Yeah.
You know, like the first group, they referred to them as the God Bless group. So just.
Yeah, but like, look, I don't want to be banging on about it, but that's just facts, really.
It is facts, to be fair. Actually, on the subject of podcasts, I was laughing because I was listening to an extremely serious podcast during the week. Mm-hmm. And then at the break, they were advertising Raycons. And I was like, what are Raycons? So it turns out they're earbuds. But they have been pioneered by the one, the only, Ray J. Do you remember Kim K's former lover? He's now doing earbuds.
But he seems to be sneaking his way back.
What's his story?
Because I saw another story about him. There's something going on there.
Is there a rebrand of Ray J? That's what I feel is happening now at the moment. It's a bit of a Jedward situation. He's going to start messaging people saying, you're really funny.
But you know what? I did, when it was all kicking off in America, I did feel sorry for Kim because they'd say she was only raging that everyone was forgetting about her fucking story.
Nobody, I mean, do you know what? Me asking you about Harry Styles and then following it up with, I couldn't really give a shit. What's that about? Like, we were all so invested in the Kardashians for so long and nobody could give a flying feck that it's over.
I think though, when you're so invested in these people for so long, but there's been so much, it does get to a point with these people where you're like, you know, the way like with these reality stars, I'm like, I mean, Jesus, back in the day, like Big Brother hooked my fucking veins, but it does get to a point where you're like, how many transformation pics can I see? How many times are we going to transform again? Like, just fucking chill out. Just fucking accept you're meant to be. You're meant to be fucking 9 stone. Stop putting yourself through this fucking thing of like burning your body down to 7 stone and telling us all you feel fucking fantastic just to go through the cycle again so you can do the pics again.
I mean, I think I stopped watching the Kardashians. A lot of people I know stopped watching the Kardashians when, you remember the whole Paris robbery happened and people were questioning, did it actually occur at all? But for me, I kind of checked out the Kardashians when I noted that every time I watched it, they were just eating salad. They were never eating anything else but the salad. And it wasn't like an ISO Caesar salad. It was just always a few leaves in the plastic box. And I just said to myself, I'm not buying this. No more than we said last week about J-Lo saying, I'm not into Botox. And, you know, should probably be following it up with, I am just into face transplants, but she's not. It's just a little bit disingenuous, the whole thing.
It's like that mate. And like, sure, look, we all have that mate. And we've all been that mate who keeps having the fucking, it's all over with the fella shite. And you know the way, like, you can only kind of do the rounds of that so many times.
You can do it twice.
Yeah, and then you're kind of like, oh, look, it would like just fucking, are you with him or not? Like, you know, unless it's like fucking mad serious shit. But if it's just like general kind of like he was a bit, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like when you're sitting in the kitchen and, you know, you're there when she rings the solicitor and it's all, you know, we're keeping it amicable. It's legal now, but, you know, we're just going to be co-parents, blah, blah, blah. And then the next time you ring and it's like, oh, hang on, he's just here. I put him on to you. He was
just all giggles and fun.
He was just saying, he was watching the Tommy show and Hugh comes on, only you. And you're like, what? And then it's just like that whole day of the boxes. When you went along and you boxed up all the stuff, that never happened.
You're not allowed to talk about that either. No. You can't bring that up.
You can never refer to it again. Refer to the day of the boxes.
Not until it happens again.
No, and like that's fine. You know, we've all been in those kind of relationships for sure. And I know I am, you know, I am crisis Judy at times. But I do think, I suppose, with the Kardashians, that anything could happen to them now. And we'd all be a bit like, nah. You know, it's one of those situations. I do feel for Kim and Kanye because I genuinely think there was probably, I would imagine, proper love there. But I did take issue with, you know, the way I think there's been a lot of framing it as, oh, but sure, wasn't she great to put up with him for this song, which I think is really unhelpful because most people who suffer from mental health problems consider themselves quite burdensome. You know, that's one of the things people struggle with, that they are a burden. Yeah. And also, sorry to bring it back to the vows, guys, but it is sickness and health.
Is Fred an earshot here or what's going on?
It is sickness and health. Yes, the hologram, I think we'd all agree, was, you know, fairly, yeah. I mean, it did signal the end. It was pretty dodgy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the one for all voucher if you're stuck for ideas. Like, nothing wrong with the one for all voucher.
Something to do, isn't it?
Even
a couple of scratch cards.
Oh, look, I mean, nobody says no to a scratch card. Absolutely. I mean, obviously a scratch card, it doesn't matter who's getting it for you. Like, that person has no feeling for you whatsoever. But I mean, look, it's still something to do. It's something to wind away the time.
It's a very clean transaction.
Yeah, it does frame your relationship as transactional. So it's probably, do you know what? A scratch card is probably the most honest gift of all, because all relationships are transactional when you think about it.
Are we pitching here for a sponsor or what's going on?
Oh, wouldn't it be great to get another sponsor? That's the goal, Emma, 2021. It's going to happen. The Raycons. I must get on to Ray J.
Do. See if we'll do the podcast. We haven't had a guest in a while.
Oh, do you know what? We'll throw out a few invitations just randomly and see who's available.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I was going to say, stupid pitch. I was going to say, get in touch and tell us who you'd like to have on the podcast, guys. And then I was like, oh, don't bother your home.
Get in touch. If there's anyone you think...
You're a patron, get in touch. I'm not fucking flying through DMs of people that want to give me money.
If you're a patron, get in touch and let us know. I'd love to have Grode back just for a giggle.
I'd love to have Grode back as well, just for a laugh. He's so fucking funny. He really
he's
is.
He's just so fucking funny. I just love him.
Let's put Grode on just for a fucking chat anyway.
Just for us. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, let's have Grode on. But do let us know if there's anyone else you think we could nab.
Yeah.
Great idea, Emma Bear.
Fuck. We'll get Grode on. That'll be enough, sure. But do let us know. I've been Emma Dorn. God bless.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.